Both my wife and I have had a feeling that we wanted to do something for the environment, and so we looked around and found a suitable old building stock. The old house was over 100 years old and was very dilapidated. It didn't have any heritage listing and it was in a quiet area. So we asked to build a house that was in keeping with the area. We decided to try and maintain the materials that were part of the building and put them back into the building. So we retained on site lots of the concrete and bricks, roofing materials. So I took the building down, stored as much as I could on site and sent out for recycling to the Bower or in Addison Road, parts that were surplus to my requirements or couldn't be stored. So it's not a high-tech house. It's using as much technology, proven technology. So that's the way that the house came about.
So building a house that is sustainable in the materials and the resources that you use to build it, what was the planning process like?
The original idea was that we went to something called Solar House Day, and that happens every year in early September. We went all over Sydney looking at houses, and some people had just put in a rainwater tank. Some people had put on solar cells on the roof to catch a PV, a photovoltaic. A lot of people open their front doors for allowing the public once a year to come in and see what they were doing. So we had a look at some of these houses. We went out to North Richmond TAFE and had a look at their sustainable area. I'm lucky that my block size is about 380 square metres for in a city that's quite a lot of land. And the normal block size, I live in Leichhardt, so the normal block size is about 170 square metres, of which you're allowed to build 50% house and 50% porous surface area. So it means that you're limited on what you can actually put onto the block. It depends on the council regulations. So we went to a building designer and got them to give us some eco-friendly ideas on what could be built, what was possible. Then went to another architect and got them to design the house for us. So Caroline Pidcock came into the scene and she designed us a three-bedroom house.
So take us on a virtual reality tour of the house. What does it look like?
The front of the house is a single story and the second story is at the back of the house. So there's no real bulk to the house at the front as you walk in. There are eaves that overhang the house and this allows the sun to come in during the winter. But in the summer, when the sun is high and hot, the eaves stop the house heating up. You come in through the front door and immediately off to your left-hand side is the kitchen with windows looking out onto the street, so you can prepare a meal and you can watch your neighbours going backwards and forwards. It makes you part of the community. Also in the front of the house to the right is the television and dining area. The house is actually a C shape. So there is an area with a timber deck, used recycled timbers from the old house. And there is a pond which is 6 metres long by a metre wide by about 300 millimetres deep. And we happen to have koi carp or goldfish in there. And the reason for that is to kill the mosquitoes. There are small windows above the pond, and that allows air to come in, go over the water, to cool down, and then into the house. And the hallway, there are windows for allowing the air to escape. So you have an action of air entering the house across the pond, cooling down and bringing the cool air into the house. And then it can go through the house and upstairs at the back and out through the top windows. So that's the chimney effect to draw the cool air through the house. Locking down the house in the hot part of the day means that you don't heat up. It may get slightly warmer. We've lived in the house for about 18 months now. In the very hot days, it's got up to 26 degrees in there, which is not too bad. And during the winter, it gets down to about 13 degrees. On a normal day-to-day basis, the temperature is quite pleasant inside. The air is fresh and clean. The floors are concrete slab all the way through, polished concrete. And the idea is this for allergies. If you have carpets, then you can get dust mites. So it's relatively easy to clean. Going through the house, it has a timber staircase going up to the second level, and it's very light construction upstairs. And the idea of the light construction is that it may heat up, but it doesn't retain energy like the double brick downstairs. So at the end of the day, when you open up the windows, when it starts cooling down, it allows the heat to dissipate quickly.
How about solar panels? You have solar panels on the house?
Yes, we have photovoltaic cells. We have 3 kilowatts. they went onto the roof during the build. So as soon as I had a roof on the front of the house, I put the PVs on, and we have an inverter, and we can produce up to a maximum of 3 kilowatts because that was the space area that I had. So during the build, the PVs were used to actually use some of the energy into doing the work. It's very expensive on energy from concrete polishers. They take a lot of power to polish the floors. So environmentally, making concrete polished floors is expensive. But if you put carpets down every 10, 15 years, you're replacing a carpet, whereas the concrete floor is there forever.
What about rainwater or sourcing your water? You use rainwater tanks in the home.
As part of the build, we put in 16,000 litres of rainwater tank in the front garden. In the back garden, I have a 1,000 litre rainwater tank buried in the back garden. And on the side of the house, I have a 800 litre rainwater tank that's connected to the upstairs garden. So upstairs, we have a roof garden, which is a nice area. It catches the sun, and it's what's known as a microclimate. So that was built over the bathroom toilet underneath, and it has an area about 2 meters by 2.5 meters, and it's approximately 300 millimeters deep. That was filled with a vegetable mix which has vermiculite in it, which is a fill material, because I wanted to keep the weight down on the roof. The roof was designed specifically for the roof garden, and it has extra support in it. And up there we have early ripening tomatoes. We've actually had 3 lots of tomatoes through there. I usually use a green mulch, so in the winter I'll plant bird seed in there and wait for it to grow 150, 200 mil high, and then dig it back in and let it rot down for a couple of weeks, and then we plant into that. And the water from the roof garden drains off into the 800 litre tank, and there's a pump in there which brings the water back into it. So I water the garden from the tank. Now, when the water runs out, if it doesn't rain, I can bring water from the 16,000 litres around the house back into there. So there's always water supply. Also up on the roof, I have a 22-tube evacuated solar hot water service, and that supplies the hot water needs for the house.
You mentioned earlier that there were a number of different materials that you wanted to reuse, and it was important for you to put them into the house. What were some of the things that you reused?
My wife and I cleaned about 8,000 bricks from the original house, which were lime render. So they were relatively easy to clean, just a boring job. And they were stored on site. The previous house had a concrete driveway, which I broke up, and we stockpiled a massive pile of concrete, broken tiles at the front of the house. So when we built the house, it's on a sloping block. There was some foundations put down and then some brick piers put in. And then this was backfilled with all of the material that I'd saved. So all of the concrete, instead of going off and being recycled, it was put back into the base of the house as part of the thermal mass.
Just going back to the bricks, you only actually used 400 new bricks, and a whole lot of them came from the UTS skip.
Yes. When the University of Technology was built, it was the first pre- and post-concrete structure built in the 60s. And the idea then was that they built the building and everything was supported on steel and concrete columns. They infilled the walls in the building with brick, and they don't actually hold the building up. And I was lucky enough to acquire these. I went and saw the people that look after the skip and asked them whether I could have the bricks. So I saved the university dumping costs, and I collected the bricks and took them home and cleaned them. And then they were reused in the build.